If we, and by we I mean the human race, hadn't burned all those fossil fuels, this would be a different planet now. Many people in positions of responsibility talk about cutting back on our fossil fuel use, but you might have noticed it's taking time. A coalition called Divest Oregon wants the state to lead the cutback through its investment policies. The name is pretty clear. Divest Oregon is about getting public money invested in fossil fuel companies and ventures out. Divesting rather than investing. We have two guests with us from the coalition. Susan Palmater is the co-leader. Susan, how do you pronounce your last name?
Palmater. Yeah, that's great.
Palmater. Okay, thank you. All right, and Andrew Bogrand is with us as well, the communications director from Divest Oregon.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
Good to have you both here. Susan, this is a coalition, not a single group. Talk about the formation of Divest Oregon.
You bet. It originated at 350 PDX in the Portland area, but we know this is a statewide issue for many Oregonians, actually for all Oregonians. And we had a Q&A back in May with the Treasurer Reed, and realized that we needed some additional work helping the Treasury move along to a more climate just organization. And so we formed this coalition. It's an all-volunteer-led coalition. And when we launched in September, we had 30 organizations. And at this point, we have 75 organizations that include folks from labor unions that have PERS members, youth leaders, social and climate justice groups, and faith communities. So.
All right. You mentioned Tobias Reed, the state treasurer. I imagine if he'd said, oh, you're right, let's get the money out of here, there wouldn't have been this formation of the coalition up to this size.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. So definitely.
Exactly. So we have tried to work with the treasurer. We really want to work with the treasury. We feel that they have the fiduciary responsibility to move these funds away from fossil fuel investments of oil and gas and coal. And towards, you know, a green economy, they can be leaders, and they have that responsibility because those investments just really aren't, for the long term, going to be good investments. The world is moving away from fossil fuels and towards a green economy, and Oregon needs to be part of that.
Sketch the backdrop for us a bit, because for people to get an impact of this, they might be thinking Oregon's a small state. That said, Oregon has something like, what, $130 billion in money invested in different places?
It's 130 billion, which is, you know, we're still, I think one of the challenges is that we're really pushing for transparency in terms of where our holdings are sitting, because we don't know. We know that the state has billions invested in fossil fuels, but we don't know to what extent. And so our first focus is really on following the money. And we're really excited, as Sue mentioned, that the legislature has picked up our asks, and they're actually moving forward with introducing the transparency bill in February. And this, I think, will kind of begin the conversation of how we divest and how we do it effectively.
Well, that's interesting, though. So you say of that $130 billion invested, we really don't know how it is allocated?
That's right. We don't know the full. We know a percentage of where the money is, but we don't know the full extent. And that's an area of concern. And there's knock-on issues as well. The state may be making investments that aren't in line with Oregonians' values or not aligned with where we want our state to head. And this is an important issue. It's a climate issue, but it's also a justice issue and a good governance issue.
Andrew, when you said percentage, you didn't mean that we know the percentage allocated to fossil fuels?
That's correct. We don't know. It's a certain percentage, but we don't know
Okay. Exactly. All right. Andrew Bogrand and Susan Palmater are guests on the Jefferson Exchange from Divest Oregon. Andrew's the communications director. Susan is the co-leader. You can join the conversation on the exchange as we talk about this coalition of something like 75 organizations now asking the state of Oregon to divest, to get its money out of investments in fossil fuels. You can join us on the exchange with your thoughts, your questions, your comments, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Susan, how tightly do you define fossil fuel connections? If it's not an oil company, but occasionally does contract work for an oil company, have you had those kinds of discussions?
Yeah, there are groups that are trying to define that. We have things called the carbon underground. So there are lists of the companies that are most invested and most working with both bringing up fossil fuels out of the ground, the extraction folks, and then the people that are transporting them, like Zenith, that comes, you know, through our beautiful gorge and into the Portland metro area, and companies that try to create the Jordan Cove pipeline down in your neck of the woods. So, you know, we have metrics and ways to judge that. The Treasury says it's difficult, but we know that 1,500 institutions around the world with $39.8 trillion with assets under management have found ways to start the divestment process. We believe the Oregon Treasury can do the same.
Well, give us an example then. Is there some other state that has gone to this extent of beginning anyway? You mentioned beginning, but not necessarily completing the process of divestiture.
Right. So New York City and New York State have already started that process. Maine now has a law that's been passed for divestment of their pension funds. And other states are working. We're part of a large coalition of grassroots folks just like us all over the country working with their state treasuries to move them along.
Andrew, does it soften the position of Divest Oregon at all that you have some fossil fuel companies talking in terms of going net zero in the future?
You know, I think that's a great question. And the debate has been for years around internal engagement as stakeholders versus, you know, pushing fossil fuels externally. There's thinking that maybe both could work, but what we've seen, unfortunately, is that the fossil fuel industry has invested far more money than those of us that are volunteering for this work toward countering with a different narrative, a false narrative, and toward what we call greenwashing, that is making the move without really making the move. And that's a major concern. I think the bigger issue in many ways is that there's a real financial risk to this sector. If you start looking at this over the past 5 or 10 years, fossil fuel stocks are not beating the market. They're underperforming. And that's an area where I think Oregonians have to really look at their own wallets, not just the climate issue, but their own wallets and say, okay, maybe it's time to get out. Maybe it's time to start looking at green and renewable sectors and move our economy in that direction for our own sake.
What? How do the green and renewable businesses perform relative to market then, if that's the gauge by which you're going?
You know, I'd have to look at the exact numbers, but overall the renewable sector is expanding extensively. In Oregon, 5 times the renewable jobs as there are in the fossil fuel one. So the sector is growing immensely and quickly. And we know that overall the long-term outlook for fossil fuel companies is weak. And many, to your original question, many fossil fuel companies are looking at market realities. Some may make the switch, but we're not comfortable that they're going to do it fast enough to address this major climate crisis.
And so, Susan, is there a timetable attached to this process? Is there a 2-year, 5-year, 10-year, 6 months, whatever desire here by which the state of Oregon would be divested from all fossil fuel entities?
Yeah, so Divest Oregon has 3 demands. The first is just transparency. We need the Treasury to disclose what they are invested in. We asked back in August with a public records request for those investments, and we have yet to get a third of what they're invested in. So part of it is just transparency. We need to first know what the Treasury is invested in. That should be a clear public information. Secondly, our demand is to stop new investments. So they're already invested. We know that in the billions. We don't know exactly to what extent, but we need to stop any new investments in fossil fuel infrastructure and extraction. And the third demand is to have a plan in place for divestment by 2026. That gives us 5 years to work on that plan. We don't recommend that, or we're not asking that the Treasury pull out of all their investments today. That would cause a problem for PERS beneficiaries and so forth. We want those returns on investments for the people who are depending on them, and we want them to be strong. That's part of this effort. So we want a plan from the Treasury, and we've made that very clear to them, and they understand that that's what we're asking for.
We are talking to the folks from Divest Oregon here on the Jefferson Exchange, which, as the name implies, is about getting Oregon investments, $130 billion total, not all obviously in fossil fuels, but to get those that are in fossil fuels out completely by the year 2026. You can join our conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Susan Palmiter is the co-leader of Divest Oregon. Andrew Bogrand, the communications director. Again, 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. You had just mentioned, Susan, about you asked earlier in the year for the Oregon Treasury to disclose fossil fuel holdings. You wanted that to happen by the start of the COP26 in Glasgow. That didn't happen. Has there been some delivery, though? Did you say there's been some delivery of information?
Yes, they have given. On their website, you can get some of the asset classes that the Treasury is invested in and get those holdings information. But about a third has not been forthcoming, and we have urged them to get us those data. That should be public record. That's how our money, Oregonians' money, is invested, just like you and I. If we're investing, you know, in anything, we want to know how it's invested as individuals. As a state, we deserve that as well. And we really are concerned that there's a transparency issue at the Treasury, and that's why this upcoming bill in the short session is about transparency and accountability, because we're very concerned that that there is this lack of disclosure of what we're invested in.
Well, yeah, the transparency would certainly help understand exactly what it is you're talking about here. But you have some other issues that are probably going to come down the pike here. And Andrew, these would probably be addressed through public information. But the concern that divestiture might lower returns in the short term anyway on state investments, when there's already a significant arrears in money that will be paid eventually to state retirees, for example, through PERS, the Public Employee Retirement System. How do you respond to that?
Well, the PERS question has come up throughout this process, and we've been very clear that this isn't a referendum on PERS or about PERS, but this is really about the long-term investments in our state. You know, this is not about tomorrow or in 2 days from now. It's about 5, 10, 15 years. And again, looking back the past five, the returns on these stocks are not keeping up with the market. So I think increasingly, you know, even major kind of storefront, big name brand investors are moving stocks out of the fossil fuel sector, moving investments out of the fossil fuel sector. So we think this is very in line with the healthy financial future for Oregon's retirees.
You know, I ended up just sort of perusing some business and market type sites yesterday and checked some business headlines and found things like rising oil prices present opportunities for investors. Granted, I admit that headline was a few weeks old, but I mean, this must feel like a bit of a steep climb up a good-sized hill at times.
Well, one interesting fact about the oil sector is that it's always, historically, it's always been a volatile sector. So even 30, 40 years ago, you might have looked at this and thought, okay, this might be a safe place to park my money. It's subject to geopolitical whims in ways that other investments simply are not. That's still true. It's still volatile. We've seen oil during the COVID pandemic, oil has been negative, and now it's risen. That still makes it for a volatile investment. And there are maybe short-term gains for short-term investors, you know, people trying to make a quick buck. But in terms of a long-term investment, I'm just not convinced, and I think major investors are increasingly not convinced it's going to be around long enough for a retirement future, for a 30-year future. I think Bill Gates put it simply recently in an interview this fall. He said, simply avoid oil.
Just avoid oil. Okay, that's a pretty short approach. Yeah, we talked about the discussions already, Susan Palmiter, with Tobias Reed, who is the Oregon State Treasurer. Not the only person involved with this. There's also the Oregon Investment Council, the OIC. Have you received any other contacts or had any other contacts with other members of that panel?
We are trying to be in touch with the Oregon Investment Council representatives. They oversee and set policy for the Treasury. We attend those meetings and we have been very vocal. In the most recent meeting, we had about 500 emails and phone calls that went into the Treasury that are part of that public record. So we are definitely sending weekly emails with information about how entities like Harvard and the Ford Foundation and the Vatican and New York City and, you know, how others are divesting. So we are trying to, you know, work with those OIC members to understand our concerns and our demands.
I noticed the Investment Council has a regular meeting tomorrow. I did look at the agenda. I don't see you on it. Is that a particular surprise at this point?
They have set meetings that are pretty rigid. Although two meetings ago, some of the members did say that this is an issue that shouldn't come up just once a year, that they are concerned about it. We have gotten their assurance that they are very concerned about climate. They are concerned about their fiduciary responsibility, though, and we feel those two go hand in hand. Their fiduciary responsibility requires them to take climate into as a concern, and that's why part of the bill in the short session is for an accountability piece of a climate risk assessment to really make sure that the public understands what kind of climate risks there are and what actions they're taking to mitigate those risks.
Andrew, was it a surprise to you guys as you looked into the state investments that they are somewhat opaque in places?
I think as a progressive state, it is surprising. And as an Oregonian, it's not what I want. I think that we can do better. I think Oregon has a role to play in this climate future that we're facing. We have a role to lead the country and the world, and I think this is an opportunity to do that. So it is surprising.
Susan, you mentioned the transparency bill coming up in the short session of the legislature in February of 2022. So clearly you have some friends among legislators. I noticed there are some unions that have joined the coalition, so those would certainly be there to put some pressure on legislators. Are there any people in the legislature coming out just flat against the idea of divest Oregon?
We have had absolutely no opposition to this coalition. None. And I think that's indicative of the concern the state has about climate risk. We experience those fire and smoke. We experience the heat dome. We know we're in it. And so we really have not heard opposition. There is concern about PERS being secure, and that's exactly our concern as well. So we really have not heard any opposition.
Okay, so yeah, PERS is going to be one thing that keeps getting mentioned there because of the arrears in PERS, and I kind of lost track. Is it about $25 billion right now?
Oh, it's $97 billion. Yeah. So it's a great majority of $130 billion that the Treasury invests.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the investment for it. I'm talking about the arrears in PERS. Okay, so we are talking
about... Oh, the arrears. Yeah, okay. I don't know those numbers now either. Yeah.
Susan Palmiter is the co-leader of Divest Oregon. Andrew Beaugrand, the communications director. Something like 75 organizations are together in the coalition trying to get Oregon Treasury money out of fossil fuels. Susan and Andrew, thank you for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much.